with Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper Michelle Renee DeBellis, and the name of her book is The Music We Make. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you, Patsy?
Okay, well, I'm so happy, actually, that I was supposed to talk to you back in December. But I'm actually happy that we're doing it today, because I think your book is so timely. It is a book, I'll let you explain the story, but essentially it's a book about a young man whose mother is killed in a traffic accident. And at this time, it is rather timely, as we know in the news. I don't want to mention the name, but in the news we have somebody who's gone through that trauma, and you write very sensitively in this book about the storyline about this kind of tragedy. And in your case, your main character is Santiago de Angelo, who is a 22-year-old songwriter, and when his mother is killed, his life changes. So do you want to explain the story and perhaps how you came out with the idea?
Absolutely, I would love to. Thank you for the opportunity and thank you for having me on. The story, as you said, as a young man's life changes dramatically when he and his mother are both in an accident that she does not survive. And it's at this moment, this turning point in his life, where he's nearly graduating with an architectural degree, and he's ready to go into follow his father's footsteps, and they're actually having a conversation about, is this what you really want to do? And he's telling his mother for the first time in 4.5 years that he is resenting that he's left his music behind. And she tells him, I'm going to do whatever it takes for you to get to follow your heart. And in that moment, they are hit by another vehicle, and there's this terrible accident that she does not survive. Even though he tries desperately to save her life, he's not able to do that. And in the hospital, he undergoes several surgeries and is prescribed prescription after prescription of Vicodin and Valium and Ambien. And that is an experience that I had when I had a very serious car accident many, many years ago, and went through the medical systems. That was just what they did at the time. They just prescribed opiates. And I had this kind of intense experience around that I wanted to write into a story and share to provide a little bit of empathy for the people that have undergone that situation, and also to show readers how the best way out of those kinds of difficult situations are through a human connection, friendship, and understanding that comes with loving relationships. But also the book is really about, in the case of losing this close relationship with his mother, how destructive we become when we lose our close relationships, and how the only way to really heal ourselves is to find new relationships that bring us, make us whole again. And as to kind of give you a better idea about the story behind the book, my husband lost his mother suddenly many years ago and was writing a beautiful song for her. And it's a gorgeous song. It's called Bird of Paradise, and you can download it anywhere music is streamed, Apple Music or Spotify or the best places to find it. And he spent years and years and years writing this gorgeous song, this absolutely beautiful piece of music. And while I was recovering from the accident I mentioned, all of the opiates that, you know, I was being prescribed, it kind of came to me, you know, what about a story of a man like my husband who lost his mother, but kind of blending the story that I was experiencing, became addicted to all of these opiates, and received the song, just as my husband did all those years ago, received the song from the other side, which felt like a full song, that he sort of has to become the man he needs to be to write this song. And so it was really... For me, it was this opportunity to show my husband all of the ways in which the pain that he was experiencing in his life was blocking from writing the song. And the really beautiful thing is that as I finished the final draft of this novel, my husband also finished the song. So it felt like a wonderful confirmation that everything I set out to do, I'd already achieved.
Well, it's a very touching book. The story of Santiago and his progress through this after taking these drugs and how he deals with things and how his life changes and about his writing music and looking for the beauty in life, I thought was so touching and so really beautifully written. I love the cover of the book, by the way. It's gorgeous.
Thank you. I'm very proud of it. I worked very hard. I worked with many designers over the course of, 6 months. And I just wasn't happy. There was nothing that was quite right. There was nothing. There was a cover I was excited about for a while. It was two beautiful, beautiful people. But I didn't want anyone to have a preconceived idea about what the characters looked like. And so I really wanted something like as you see on the book where there's just a silhouette of a man and a woman that lets you know that it's a love story and lets you know that it's beautiful. And I just wanted people to see right away, oh, this is beautiful, because I think it's really beautiful.
And that there's a golden thread throughout the book, this music.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad you saw that.
I felt it, and it's embossed, this one, and I just love this cover. And for the longest time, I was just holding it and by my reading chair, and I would pick it up and I would touch it, and I love it. And as I said, the story is so important, and it's told so beautifully that I hope people will get this one because right now they are listening to a nonstop story about a son who's lost his mother and obviously has serious problems ongoing, and perhaps has never found any peace. And so I think that, and understanding also addiction, I was in a similar situation almost, but I had a wonderful nurse who said to me, look at that, the pain thing that they have on the wall. Give your number, right? They always say, give your number. And she said, don't give it. And I said, what do you mean? She said, don't give a number. Because that was formed by the drug companies so that you put a number and then they'll give you more drugs. The more you put a big number, the more drugs you'll get. And I didn't know that. I mean, but she was so smart, and she knew I was Finnish because we had talked about my background. And she said, because she knew the word sissu, which is a word that sort of means tough. And she said, tough it out. She said, don't give them a number. It's a terrible thing. She was so against it. And so I actually, although I was in pain, I suffered the pain, and I never had this. But there's so many other people who do, and so many people don't understand what they are doing by giving these massive amounts of pain medication. That
right. Well, it's funny what you say too about the number, because that's the scene in the book where I talk about the number. But I feel like one of the things I experienced with the number, like you're just describing, is that my addiction wanted to speak for me. My addiction would say, say a higher number, because I had sort of figured that out, what you're saying. And that's one of the things I talk about in the book, is how even as a rational, intelligent person, you know what's right and wrong for you, but your addiction tries to give you a new logic and have a voice in your mind, and that voice comes out loud and gets you further into trouble. With the addictions you have, and both Kitty Holiday experiences that, and Santiago D'Angelo experiences that. I feel like it's a really, really valuable thing for people to recognize, oh, this is a separate voice from my rational mind, and I can ignore it, and I don't have to let it.
And because the drug companies have a reason to want you to take more and more and more.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, we know it in our hearts, in our minds. We know that we can take a little bit of pain. We can, just manage.
If we can't take off our pain, then we've been told by this society that wants to eliminate pain with a drug.
Yep. And
especially in this case, when you're suffering emotional pain and physical pain at the same time, I think it's much more challenging.
That's it, because people who have gone through it, they've also got this loss of a person in their life. It's a sort of a double whammy. You want the pain medication not so much for the physical pain, for the mental pain, but that really doesn't solve the problem.
Where one of the characters asked them, you know, when you were taking all of the Vicodin to ease this emotional discomfort, did it help? And he said, no, it didn't. It just made me, it just distracted me. It didn't help at all. It just distracted me and also kept me from doing the thing that would actually...
That would have helped, exactly. And it's like they really do this, particularly in Europe. They have laughing gas, and some people think that's going to make them feel better. But in the end, nothing makes you feel better until you get control of yourself and take it on yourself to make yourself better and to get the help that you need. So there's so many reasons that I think people should read this book. As I said, of course, the writing is wonderful. And you're a born writer. I want to talk about that in a minute. The name of this book is The Music We Make. And it's a very, I want people to get this book because as we're talking right now about a certain person who's got a situation, I think reading this story will help us put things in perspective. And then one of the things that I wanted to talk about, I was so intrigued when I went to your website. I love the story about how you started writing, because it is a beautiful story. And I want you to share it with people, because I think it says so much, first of all, about you, but also about how sometimes people don't realize that, yes, they have these ideas, and you just write this story so beautifully. So tell us about when you started writing.
All right. Well, this is, I believe, the story you're talking about. I love this story so much. I was in the sixth grade, and a teacher had given us this assignment to write about an empty room. And I wrote about how the room was empty because there was no love, there was no friendship. There wasn't any soul. I talked about a lot of intangible things. And when I got the assignment back, the teacher had written in red all over the place that I didn't follow the instructions, that it was supposed to be at a room that didn't have any chairs or furniture in it, and describing its emptiness. And I remember it was one of those moments where I said to myself, she's wrong. This authority figure is wrong, and you're right, and you can trust what you did. Where the only thing that really matters to make anyone feel empty is whether or not they're feeling loved or appreciated and feel boistered by different kinds of things. And so I took it home and I showed it to my mother, and she said, Michelle, you're a writer. And I was 10 years old. And at that moment, I decided, you know, I am a writer. And it was such an exciting moment. I'll never forget the way that I felt, how profound it was. And I sort of decided in that moment that, that's what I would do with my life. And I began reading every genre of book there was. I just read 4 or 5 books a month for dozens of years to find out which type of book I wanted to write, what type of genre I was going to write in, whether I was going to write in first person or third person, or write plays or poetry, all of which I hand in and decided, I'm a novelist. I want to write a novel.
You are a writer. I mean, this, I got tears in my eyes when I read it. It just, I was thinking, oh, if I had been your teacher, I would have taken your hand and marched you around the room, and then I would have told all the other kids, let's just march Michelle down the hallway to celebrate that we are in the midst of a great writer. She is brilliant.
I love it.
I would have taken your hand and I would have said, okay, kids, we're going to follow Michelle down the hallway. We're going to dance and we're going to sing because a writer is born here.
Right now, just thinking about it in my imagination. But I have to tell you, I did have a lot of teachers who more or less did what you're talking about. And for me, it was so uplifting and so important and so valuable, but it did not earn me a lot of friends. I have to tell you that it created a lot of envy and jealousy amongst my peers. And that's okay. That's
okay. But because, I mean, you could have given up right there with that. If your mother hadn't said it, you could have given up. And the loss would have been enormous until eventually you would have discovered it. But you might have gone through years and years of sadness because you had this in you. Do you know you could take thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of kids and they would never, ever think to write what you wrote? What you wrote was so brilliant that they should have celebrated you that day. They should have done a party for you. They should have said, next day, everybody bring in cupcakes because we're going to have a Michelle day. Because if you explain it to kids and say, look, here we have somebody who's going to be writing stuff that will make people's lives better, will change their life, will do wonderful things. Little Michelle should have been celebrated. And I think I love that story because I did have a third grade teacher who called me stupid.
The impact that those kinds of things make.
Well, she used the word dumb because in those days they used dumb for stupid. Now they couldn't use dumb, but she called me dumb because I was from northern Michigan and I talked with a funny accent. I talked like this and I didn't, you know, although I was the smartest one, I was in third grade and I had already read 1,000 books, you know, but she called me dumb in front of all the students. I'm so happy that you did get great teachers. I love this story. So I want people to go to your website, which is Michelle Renee DeBellis. I love your name. It's so pretty. And you're so beautiful. You look like a movie star yourself. My goodness.
I appreciate that.
You look good there. And read this little story. You've done a wonderful job with this book, and I hope people will get it. It's about a son who's lost his mother, and we have to, you know, encourage people to read this story and feel sorry for people who are in the news who obviously have not quite gotten to that point. So again, your website is great, and the name of the book again is The Music We Make, a novel by Michelle Renee DeBellis, who looks like a movie star, very French and very elegant, beautiful. And thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you. It was wonderful. Thank you, Patsy.
Okay. Bye-bye.